In the form of Prajapati Marichi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny. Becoming the king, he kills the thieves and rogues. And in the form of time, he annihilates everything. All the different qualities of material existence should be understood to be qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrasatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kolpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindho Pyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sargam Prajesha Rupena, Dasyun Hanyat Swarad Prabhu, Kala Rupena Sarvesham, Abhavaya Pratagunaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is doing everything through his various energies and manifestations. Sargam Prajesha Rupena, creation of progeny through the Prajapatis like Marichi. Tasyun Hanyat Svarad Vupuhu, and the king subdues the thieves and rogues. Kala Rupena Sarvesham Abhavaya, and in the form of time, Mrityu Sarva Harascham, the Lord finishes off everything. He takes away everything. Abhavaya, by the influence of time, everything is manifest, and by the influence of time, everything is again unmanifest. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Pratagunaha, and all the various qualities of material existence are qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next verse. Stuyamano janayar ebhir mayaya nama rupaya Imohitatma bhir nana darshanara na chadrishyate. People in general are bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore they try to find the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through various types of research and philosophical speculation. Nonetheless, they are unable to see the Supreme Lord. Purport, whatever actions and reactions take place for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world are actually brought about by the one Supreme Person. There are many varieties of philosophers trying to search for the ultimate cause under different names and forms, but they are unable to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who explains in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the origin of everything and the cause of all causes. Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada. This inability is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Devotees, therefore, accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is and remain happy simply by chanting the glories of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj told his father that you're not going to be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, neither by your individual effort nor by collective effort, by conferences. In no way are you going to be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Stuyamana Janai AP. People want, at least some people want to understand the truth. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhe. Very few actually want to understand the truth. Most want to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. That means they're hardly better than animals. But the human life is meant for spiritual realization. And there are those who are seeking the higher reality, higher truth. They feel at least uncomfortable with material existence. They have some intuitive understanding that material life, is unsatisfying. And therefore, they try to understand something higher. Atato brahmajigyasa. This is the real business of human life. Human life begins when we inquire about the origin of everything, about what's behind everything. So, stuyamana janai abhi, mayaya namarupaya vimohita. But people are bewildered. Vimohita. Mohita means bewildered, and vimohita means seriously bewildered. Deeply bewildered. Vimohita. Vimohita. Why? Mayaya. By maya, the illusory energy. Namarupaya. Under different names and forms. The Buddhists think that name and form themselves are maya. This is their philosophy. Due to desire and craving, we become attached to name and form, which actually have no genuine existence. Nama Rupa, and so on, gets a body with a particular name and material existence of in a world of names, but none of it is real. But the devotees understand that the Supreme Personality, that the illusory energy is working under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Hetunanena konteya jagat viparivartate. whole world is moving by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the illusory energy is one of his energies. So, the forms and qualities and names that are manifest in this material world are false in the sense that they're temporary. They exist as energies or as manifestations of the energy of the Lord. So they're real because the Lord is real. But they're not what we think they are. That's the problem. We think that this material world is a sukhalaya, a very good place for enjoyment. We think I'm this body. The body is the self. We think there's so many things here for enjoyment. We think so many things. Under the influence of goodness, or under the influence of passion, or under the influence of ignorance, or by mixtures of these different qualities. Vimohita. If any one of these three modes would be enough to bewilder us. But they work concertedly, they work together. So one is bewildered by some combination. And not only one combination, but the Lord describes in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes one mode is higher or is predominant, sometimes another mode is predominant. Sattvam rajastameti guna prakriti sambhava nibhidnanti tatra sattvam. Where's that? Next page, right? Yeah. Rajastamas chabibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajasattvam tamas chayava tamas sattvam rajastata. Sometimes goodness overcomes passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion overcomes goodness and ignorance. Sometimes ignorance overcomes goodness and passion. So there's this sort of competitive mixing of the three modes of material nature, or at least an ever-changing mixing. Sometimes one mode is prominent, sometimes another. Therefore, vimohita, the modes of nature act in combination, and they act in differently, they change strategy, as it were. They change the mix. So we think we're getting somewhere. We are going from. I used to be totally into just indiscriminate eating, and now I eat healthy and organic and Ayurvedic diet. So one is now bewildered. By a different mode. Perhaps he was bewildered by ignorance or passion. Now he's bewildered by goodness. He thinks that I'm eating very nicely and therefore my life is very good. And still he's forgetting the absolute truth. So vimohita. Guna, another meaning of guna is rope. And triguna, daivihyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratuya. A Maya consists of three ropes. Just as sometimes you see on the dock, they have these, the ships are tied by triple corded ropes. A triple strand is not easily broken. So the Maya holds us tight by this bewilderment. And vimohitatma bir nana darshanar nachadrishyate. Nana darshan means different ways of looking at things. Different theories, different opinions, different theories and different opinions. Well, if you look at it from the point of view of quantum physics, this. If you look at it from Newtonian mechanics, that. If you look at it this way, this. If you look at it that way, that. If you look at it from the Heidegger's point of view, it's this. If you look at it from Hegel's point of view, it's that. You look at it from Sartre's point of view, oh, it's again different. Nana darshan, different opinions. Or in the Vedic tradition, Shatdarshan, Karma Mimamsa, and various the atomic Gotam's ideas and Kanada's ideas, different ideas of traditional Vedic sages, all of them missing the point. All of them missing the point. Different philosophers, each one competing with the others. In the fourth canto, I think, of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse that I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy various rishis or munis argue among one another, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, and all the time forgetting their themselves, their spiritual identity. This has become quite prominent these days. It's facilitated by the internet, where everyone can spout off a different opinion, and arguing can go on ad infinitum, with no conclusion, except that at the end of the day, everyone has wasted his time. So this is the work of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Kali Yuga, Maya goes digital. Etat kalpa vikalpasya yatra pramanam parikirtitam yatra manvantaranya hush chaturdasha puravidaha. In one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, there take place the many changes called vikalpas. O king, all of these have been previously described to you by me. Learned scholars who know the past, present, and future have ascertained that in one day of Brahma there are 14 manus. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The System of Universal Management. Kalpa means the day of Brahma, and Vikalpa, within those kalpas, there are various subdivisions, especially the manvantaras, the different reigns of Manu, each lasting for 1/14 of his day. Are there any questions? Which what? In this material world, the Lord controls everything, our mind, our senses, our intelligence. Every action is controlled by Krishna. Why should someone be punished? Because everything's controlled by Krishna according to your desire. Punished or rewarded according to our desire. We have minute independence, and by misuse of minute independence, one gets in trouble. Or we can put it this way. Krishna says, Sarvadharman pratyajya mamekam sharanam vraja, ham tam sarvapape bhyo mokshishami machucha. Surrender to me and get free from all of this control by Maya. And we say, well, I'll think about it. Or forget it. This is another
hocus-pocus religion, or whatever we say, but we don't do it, then who's to blame? Krishna says, surrender to me and I'll free you from all entanglement and all consequent suffering. And we don't agree. Now, who's responsible then? The prisoners in the jail, he's being told, cooperate and we'll let you off. And he refuses. And then he complains, they treat me like this, they treat me like that, they don't let me do anything independently. Who's to blame? Yes?
Marge, you referred to Buddhist philosophy. And I was wondering, because I'm trying to understand what it is, maybe it's better, I don't understand what it is, because obviously it's this Buddhist philosophy, but how do they describe the beginning of the universe?
How do they describe the beginning of the universe? Well, I'll preface this by saying that one time I was editing something about Mayavad philosophy, something that where Prabhupada was quoting from a great Mayavadi commentator. And I wrote to Prabhupada and said, I'm not sure if I'm editing this properly. Did I write to him? No, maybe I asked through Kurandar Prabhu. Anyway, I don't know if I'm editing this properly because it doesn't seem to make sense. And Prabhupada replied, it doesn't make sense, you're editing it properly. Okay, now to answer the other part of your question, or to proceed with the answer. The Buddhists have the idea of something called interdependent origination. There is no cause of anything, ultimate cause. Everything is, in one sense, circular. A exists because of B, B exists because of C, C exists because of D, and it finally comes in a circle. Let me see if I can get the circle right. Existence is suffering. Suffering exists because of desire. Desire exists because of sensory experience. Sensory experience exists because of our name and form, our body and senses. The body and senses exist because of, because of craving and attachment. Attachment exists because of I've lost the thread, but it finally comes around to the beginning again. It finally comes around to the beginning again. It all goes in a circle. One thing is the cause of the other thing, is the cause of the next thing, is the cause of the next thing. And it comes around again, at least in terms of our embodied existence. In terms of the material world that we see before us, it doesn't really... All there is sort of a temporary combination of impressions and stuff, it's all just a conglomeration of things, and how those things could be described is another matter. But a combination of thoughts and impressions, or a combination of atoms, or a combination of various circumstances or situations, which just hang together sort of as a circumstance. And in the next moment, that's replaced by the next set of circumstances, which are consequences of the previous ones. So, for example, the next body is the result of the total mess that we are at the moment. At the present moment, I'm whatever I am, a combination of thoughts and feelings and guts and all of that. And at the time of death, that's transferred to the next body, that the way that a flame is transferred from one candle to the next. And that becomes the cause of the next one, and that becomes the cause of the next one. And even in this life, I'm just a sort of mess of stuff hanging together at this moment, but the stuff that's hanging around at this moment is different from the stuff that entered the room, because time has passed. So with the passage of time, everything is changing. And I think that there's consistency. I think that there's continuity. I think, for example, that oneself continues to exist throughout all of these changes, from moment to moment and from lifetime to lifetime. But that's all illusory. There's just these different things hanging together. Of course, then it becomes very difficult to explain why the apparent self in one lifetime suffers for the deeds performed by a different apparent self in a different lifetime. The Buddhist metaphysics gets quite difficult. Even if we accept that there's no ultimate cause, it's just A depends on B, and B depends on C, and C depends on D, and D depends on A, and it goes around and around, interdependent existence, interdependent origination of everything. Even if we think that, then the question is, why is it like that? Well, yeah, even before we get to a void, where does this interdependent origination come from? If this is the law by which the material world works, where does that law come from? If this is the regularity, sometimes scientists don't like the word law, they'll use a regularity, in other words, a consistent pattern. If this is the consistent pattern by which existence follows, why? There must be some reason. So finally you get to causality. Some outside cause must be there that is responsible for things within the system following a certain pattern or following certain laws. Otherwise, what do you say? It just happens. That doesn't make any sense. So Buddhist metaphysics finally runs up against serious problems. And you can get lost in all the details of it, as I'm at the moment lost in trying to remember what the details of it are. But when you finally step back from it, you say, yeah, okay, but why is it like that? Where do these laws or regularities come from? Or where does this, it's all illusion. Where does the illusion come from? This is the defect of all Mahayana philosophy, really. Something else? Of what? Yeah, but they're two different words. One is smaranam, and the other is sharanam. Smaranam means remember, and sharanam means take shelter. Two different words. Nope. Some devotees try to explain Mayavada as different from impersonalism. I'll leave it to them to explain what they mean. As far as I saw, Srila Prabhupada used the terms interchangeably. Now, if you want to get into the taxonomy of the thing, there's Mayavad. Mayavad has two species, Shunyavad and Nirvisheshvad. Shunyavad is voidism and Nirvisheshvad is impersonalism. So technically then you'd say Buddhism isn't impersonalism, it's voidism. So you can divide Mayavada into those two strains, voidism and impersonalism. But then sort of commonly Srila Prabhupada used Mayavada as overall to mean to encompass both, and used impersonalism as the sort of general term for the two. But you can divide them up, impersonalism and voidism. Something else? Yes. The Supreme is not conscious in Mayavada, because that implies two things, a Supreme and his consciousness. So ultimately, Mayavada doesn't accept that there's a Supreme that has consciousness. They accept perhaps that there's just consciousness. I'm forgetting the Sanskrit quote now, but... Eka Brahma, something Anantam. There's an unlimited, supreme absolute, which is sometimes said to be by nature conscious. Anandam means Ananta Brahma, and it's sometimes described as being Satchit Ananda. So Ananda means full of pleasure, Chit means conscious, Sat means eternal. But it's sort of amorphous. There's just consciousness. There's no subject-object duality. There's not a conscious entity that perceives and something else that's perceived. There's just absolute oneness. The four Kumaras are Brahmavadis. If you speak out, life will be easier. The four Kumaras are Brahmavadis. See, if you ask a question like this, I can answer the same way. How would they be understood? They're Brahmavadis. Brahmavad means impersonalism. Except if you're a Vaishnava, then Brahma means Krishna. But they were impersonalists. Otherwise, what was the change when they became Vaishnavas? So they were impersonalists. They accepted the Supreme as being devoid of form, name, qualities, pastimes, and so on. They didn't have a personal conception. Brahma bodies. They're after Brahma, but they didn't have personal knowledge of Brahma. That came later. I believe in God a little bit. Well, we call them a lot of things, of course. But if they believe in God a little bit, then you can say they have a little bit of faith. Even sometimes. They sometimes have a little bit of faith. I mean, it's better than the person says, there's no God, God is nonsense. I believe in God a little bit. Something is there. Not much. Something. So if they believe in God a little bit, then they should take one of our books and read it a little bit.
Philosophies. I've noticed that even within our society, there's different
That everybody's got a different understanding is a manifestation of individuality. If my realization is precisely 100% identical to yours, then I must be you. Everyone will have some different understanding. Even in the spiritual world, someone sees Krishna as the supreme friend. Someone sees him as the as Cupid personified. Someone sees him as their child. Someone sees him this way. Someone sees him that way. They don't nana darshan. They all see Krishna differently. There's individual affection for Krishna. Individual. Kunti was seeing Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Yashoda Mai was thinking, this is rubbish. Maybe he's one of the demigods at the most. Not thinking it's the rubbish, but she's just thinking Krishna's an ordinary child, or her child. And maybe he's one of the demigods. So they were seeing, they had nana darshan. So in our society, maybe there are different opinions. Someone thinks distributing prasadam is the most important work. Someone thinks worshipping the deities is the most important. Someone thinks distributing books is the most important. And so we accommodate that. Someone can be more focused on this. Someone can be more focused on that. And then there's things where we don't compromise. No, Lord Shiva is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, Durga is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, there's not three rules or two rules or one rule. There's so many things that are... No, Krishna is not... Chanting Hare Krishna is not a pious activity. No, one shouldn't offend Vaishnavas. There's certain principles that are invariant. And then there are other things where different ways of looking at things can be accommodated. Goswamis don't always agree with one another. One says this, another says that. Even the same person sometimes looks at it this way and sometimes looks at it that way. There's a kind of a famous story that I think Gurudas who told that, you know, why do we believe in Krishna? And then some various reasons are given and Prabhupada rejects them and he gives another reason. And then another time Gurudas is on a walk with Prabhupada and Prabhupada says, why do we believe in Krishna? And Gurudas gives the reason that Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada rejects it and chooses one of the other reasons. So, something else? Goswamis all had their own temples, they did. That's interesting. Did he cite authority for that? The Goswamis didn't really get on, and so they formed different temples. I've had a jiva. I'm going to go start a temple over here. There's a proverb, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, one sees the whole world to be like oneself. In psychology, it's called projecting one's own mentality onto others. I haven't seen authoritative statements saying the Goswamis didn't get on with one another. It's described they used to sit in Radha Damodar temple and take prasadam together and discuss different philosophical ideas. It would be convenient for people who, you know, have certain views to have that conception, but I haven't seen evidence for it. But there is room for individual service. Someone starts, it's not that, you know, you can't start a temple. I started a temple. Vrindavan, this is Vrindavan, and I've made the first temple, Madan Mohan Temple, and that's it. You can't build a temple because I've built a temple. And everyone has to come to my temple. And you can't build another temple. Well, now there's three temples. Three is enough, okay? There was none of that. So the, each individual had room for serving the Lord in a different way, or in, yeah. But not that there, it was a materialistic mood of competition or disdain.